Blog Talk Radio. Well, they've done it again. Another attack in the Midlands in UK, in Manchester, and there was 23 people that were killed and many others injured. Or as it says right here, 22. Undoubtedly, that number will probably rise. And so ISIS going after children now. The Ariana Grande, who was on the Disney Channel, has a lot of young fans, and so there was a lot of kids there that were chaperoned by their parents or friends, family. And they went in and blew them up. The person didn't go through the entrance inside. They waited until the people were leaving, and then they blew up the explosion as the people were exiting. So, and then people panicked and everybody ran out. There's an interesting video. I mean, I can play it, but you can't, unless you're watching it, you don't really get the full effect. But there's a guy with a dash cam, and he's outside of the arena that this is happening in, and all of a sudden the music's going on, and all of a sudden you hear this boom. But if you're watching very carefully on the left, you see a flash of light up against some cement wall that's outside of the arena that's pretty high up, and then you see the flash of the explosion, and then you hear the sound detonating. So once again, we are in the fight of our lives, and we have got to, you know, we've got to exterminate these people. This would be like having a bunch of Nazis going around the world, except these people are really worse than the Nazis, if you can make such a distinction. It seems like they're worse, but let's just say they're on the same level. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. And I think Trump is right. You cannot contain these people and drive them out of regions. You just have to go in and obliterate them and just write these people off as members of the human race. Here's from ABC News from just an hour or two ago. Ariana Grande concert explosion at Manchester.
This is an ABC News special report.
It was mostly innocent
now
children.
Reporting David Muir.
The terrorists and extremists.
Hold on, I've got a double play here. I have got the statement from the president first, so let me rewind this so you can hear about this attack.
Special report. Now reporting, David Muir.
Good evening, and we come on the air at this hour because we are following developments out of Manchester, England, reports of an explosion at an Ariana Grande concert at the Manchester Arena there, one of the largest arenas, in fact, in Europe. And we have a piece of video we want to show you at home where you can faintly hear the explosion at that concert. That is the audio right there. It's believed the explosion occurred at the end of the Ariana Grande concert. The video coming in from the scene tonight, you can see concertgoers racing out of the arena in horror. We are told the artist herself is okay. What's unclear at this hour is whether or not the explosion happened inside the arena or right on the outside perimeter. Authorities, as you can see, are on the scene. In fact, police had tweeted out before we got these images that they were responding early on to some sort of an explosion urging.
Actually, I think I've got a newer clip here. They know who the bomber is, and they've picked up another guy that's 19 years old that was apparently helping with him. Let me try this other clip here for you. Well, I'm going to keep looking for a newer one. Here in the meantime is our Trump's statements about it.
As President of the United States, on behalf of the people of the United States, I would like to begin by offering my prayers to the people of Manchester in the United Kingdom. I extend my deepest condolences to those so terribly injured in this terrorist attack and to the many killed and the families, so many families of the victims. We stand in absolute solidarity with the people of the United Kingdom. So many young, beautiful, innocent people living and enjoying their lives murdered by evil losers in life. I won't call them monsters because they would like that term. They would think that's a great name. I will call them from now on losers because that's what they are. They're losers. And we'll have more of them. But they're losers. Just remember that. This is what I've spent these last few days talking about during my trip overseas. Our society can have no tolerance for this continuation of bloodshed. We cannot stand a moment longer for the slaughter of innocent people. And in today's attack, it was mostly innocent children. The terrorists and extremists and those who give them aid and comfort must be driven out from our society forever. This wicked ideology must be obliterated. And I mean completely obliterated. And the innocent life must be protected.
Prime Minister called the suicide
lives.
Bombing at an Ariana Grande concert in
life
Manchester, England, a callous terrorist.
All civilized
attack.
Nations and must join together to protect human life and the sacred right of our citizens to live in safety and in peace.
All right, and I do... Pardon the interruption, but I do have another clip here from CBS that's just a few minutes out. Get it to play here. All right. Well, let's take a little break. I've got to reboot my machine. Let's take a little break. 614 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces 523 1450. Be right back. Okay, so I do have a clip for you, but I'm experiencing a slight issue here on the computer, but I do have a clip from the BBC here from Theresa May, who's the Prime Minister.
It is now beyond doubt that the people of Manchester and of this country have fallen victim to a callous terrorist attack, an attack that targeted some of the youngest people in our society with cold calculation. This was among the worst terrorist incidents we have ever experienced in the United Kingdom. And although it is not the first time Manchester has suffered in this way, it is the worst attack the city has experienced and the worst ever to hit the north of England. We now know that a single terrorist detonated his improvised explosive device near one of the exits of the venue, deliberately choosing the time and place to cause maximum carnage and to kill and injure indiscriminately. All acts of terrorism are cowardly attacks on innocent people, but this attack stands out for its appalling, sickening cowardice, deliberately targeting innocent, defenseless children and young people who should have been enjoying one of the most memorable nights of their lives. The police and security services believe they know the identity of the perpetrator, but at this stage of their investigations, we cannot confirm his name. We know that many friends and relatives of people caught up in the attack are still trying to find out what has happened to their children, brothers and sisters, parents and loved ones. So please, think of those people who are experiencing unimaginable worry. And if you have any information at all relating to the attack, please contact Greater Manchester Police.
All right, here's a little bit more from Fox. No terror warning was put out before this blast went off. And this is just, this is a pretty new clip.
Manchester, and he joins us now. Jake, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah, hi.
What do you know?
Well, I'm here right on the scene, just by the police cordon. And a strange sense of calm has descended here in Manchester following the huge chaos that erupted at about 11 p.m. local time when a big explosion was heard at the entrance to the arena. I arrived on the scene about 20 minutes after that, and it was a scene of carnage. There was crowds of people moving away from the arena. There were parents running into the arena to try to find their children who were lost. And the first people that I spoke to were a couple of young women in their 20s who'd been at this Ariana Grande concert and had seen the explosion. They were so close to the explosion that they were hit by pieces of debris, and they missed death, they said, by a matter of minutes. As we know, there have been multiple fatalities here, although the number has not been confirmed, and a good deal of quite horrific injuries, as well as a lot of lighter injuries as well. Those two young women told me that they saw a woman covered in blood, leaning against a parked car waiting for assistance. They saw a child being lifted into an ambulance by paramedics. All the wounded were herded into a car park to begin with, and now some other casualty stations have been set up as well in nearby hotels. There's one hotel nearby in particular which is hosting a lot of children who were caught up in the attack and in the chaos thereafter, who have been separated from adults and have no one there to look after them. So these are the scenes of chaos that have dominated Manchester this evening. But now there's a sense that everything is slightly calmed down. The police have regained control. They're keeping everybody on the other side of the cordon and are taking this through the steps that they've all no doubt rehearsed.
Were there, give us some context, assuming there is any, Jake, were there any indications in the last week that there was going to be anything like that? Were there any warnings sent that there was an expectation of authorities that there might be a terror attack or anything like this?
Not at all. The police did not issue any kind of warning in advance that the terror threat had risen. Recently in Britain, the focus of terrorists has been, as you know, on London. We had that successful attack not more than a couple of months ago in Westminster, where a policeman was stabbed to death by a terrorist. And shortly afterwards, another man who was clearly planning a similar attack with a rucksack full of knives was arrested. So really, people have been thinking about London. And there's a sense, a little bit, that Britain has been taken off guard here because people have been focusing on London. There's been no sense of any heightened alert or any warnings about Manchester, and certainly not at this concert here where, you know, thousands and thousands of young teenagers were just enjoying an Ariana Grande concert. The star herself had just left the stage about 30 seconds before the bomb went off. There were lots and lots of balloons in the audience, and people speculated they may have been behind the sound before people started to see the fatalities and realize that this was a very serious attack indeed.
So we've got two details coming across the wires here in the U.S. Tell me if you know anything about either one. First, that hospitals in the region are reporting that the wounds they're treating are consistent with those suffered in a nail bomb attack. And the second, this being reported by an American news agency, that this was possibly a suicide bomber at work. Have you heard either one of those things?
Well, those are some of the rumors that are swirling around, but the police are urging caution at the moment. Normally, the British...
Well, I think we know that it's ISIL or ISIS. We know that, and we also know that the name of the bomber, and I've got to find a clip or some... I just heard that on the news driving in. The name of the bomber and his accomplice, and it has to... None of these people are truly lone wolves, as they say. They're all plugged in somehow to this network. Take a break here for some local news. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. I've got my text buddy here, 805-6180, 805-6180. Let me ask you. I've asked you before. I will ask you again. Why does a religion of peace... Why does a religion in which undoubtedly the believers say that their God is love, why does a great religion have to blow people up, innocent strangers, to prove its power, to prove its righteousness? How would blowing up an innocent teenager prove that your God is the true God? Just asking. 6:25, we'll be right back. All right, so we're always confronted with this idea that Islam is called to kill the non-believers. Now, you can spend every day of your life defending these guys, and you can differentiate between peaceful Islam and violent Islam, or you can say that the real Islam is peaceful, as is politically correct, and the fake Islam is not real Islam at all. I mean, you can do that, but I don't know what you're achieving. Both of these groups of people believe that in the Quran and in Allah, and the idea that that there is this historic religion called Islam that was based in peace and has only recently been conscripted or deformed into radicalism is just not historically true. I told the story recently, I think, that when Muhammad went to Mecca and was rejected by the Jews, and then he went to Medina and was kicked out of Mecca, went to Medina, went to the Jews and told them he was the Messiah, and they laughed at him, and he never forgave them for that. And when he got control of that area, he went back to Medina, and he cut off the heads of somewhere between 600 and 900 Jewish men, one after another. So this idea that, Muhammad was about peace, like Jesus was, simply not true. Now, if you're Muslim, you have an explanation. But, and I've said this before, if you go by strict Sharia law, what ISIS is doing is within the context, within the laws of that. So it is not true that there's a Sharia law out there that is the same as Western law. There's a lot of myths out there, and I think there's a lot of people who are basically unwilling to confront the idea that there is amongst us, living around us, individuals who are totally opposed to our way of life and will kill us because we disagree with them. All right, so here's a little bit from the explosion, from the 30 seconds from tragedy.
Someone who was there, it's a man called Chris Pauly. He was on the scene. He shot video of what he saw. Thankfully, he and his friends escaped the scene without being injured. Here's part of what he shot right there. We assume this is... Chris, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are we looking at? Is this the lobby?
Yeah, so that's actually in the station. So as we was coming out the arena just before Ariana finished a long song to try and beat the rush, we come out a few minutes early. We'd come just out of where the box office is situated in the arena, and then you go into the train station. As we get to the top of the steps, we heard the biggest explosion, and it was literally about 20 meters from where we were stood. Everyone started panicking. We initially thought it was a terrorist attack, because that's just what you think because of what's going on. We ran down the stairs and then started to head for the door. Before we got to the door, we hesitated because of past things, what we'd seen. We thought they'd normally set a bomb off and then wait for people to rush. So we stopped, and then as we stopped, we got told to leave. The tannoys was going off. People were screaming and shouting. It was the worst experience ever.
So you heard one explosion. We're hearing reports there are multiple explosions, but you say there was one.
We heard what we was actually in the building when one went off, and then as we left, that's when the second explosion must have taken place. So once we'd already left the building, and we just ran to the car, like didn't stop running.
Is there any security between any security checkpoint between when you get off the train underneath the arena and the area where the bomb apparently went off, the lobby?
No. Even going into the concert tonight, I've been to concerts before, and sometimes you get patted down and get told to empty your pockets. There was absolutely nothing at this concert tonight. We just literally got our ticket scanned and were straight in. But that was going into the concert, so there's no security whatsoever on the outside where the explosion took place.
So anybody could have brought anything into where the bomb went off?
Yeah, anyone. As we left, because there were so many young children in there and teenagers. And as we, in the foyer where the explosion took place, as I was walking through, I said to my partner, there was lots of parents stood there. And I said, look at them all waiting for the kids, because I'd never seen it like that before, like so many people. So obviously they was waiting for the children to come out. Ah. So they would have been the people. Well, there was the people, because 20 seconds later, and was walking to the steps, that's when it went off, a minute before that video.
Enough to make you cry. So it's the parents waiting for their kids to come out of the concert, as parents do at things like this, standing outside waiting for it to be over, and then the bomb goes off. And then the parents, some of them ran inside the building?
Yeah, it was just chaos in the train station where we was. And then as we left, like, the phones weren't working because we were trying to ring our friends to see if they was okay, because they were still inside at this point. And there was just panic and chaos.
So the cellular phone service was down?
Yeah. You couldn't ring anybody.
Did you see anyone injured?
I didn't see anyone injured, no. I think if we would have left 30 seconds later, we would have been caught right up in it. They're so lucky.
You certainly are. There were reports that this might have been a suicide bombing, and I certainly don't want to pass those on without evidence, but a number of British publications are reporting that. Did you hear from any other eyewitnesses that that is possibly true?
No, I'm just literally watching the news now, and they've only just started using the word terrorist and stuff. So before that, they were just saying an incident, and then it went to serious incident, and then fatalities, and now they're saying it's a terrorist attack.
All right, so anyway, let me get some more details here for you. Daily Mail, suicide bomber who slaughtered 22 was, quote, known to police and was caught on CCTV. Details of attacker emerge as arrests are made across Manchester over arena massacre. They know who did it. And, a 19-year-old man. It's a 23-year-old man who they had arrested in connection with the attack. ISIS claimed today responsibility for it. I don't understand why it takes so long for these details to get into the America media cycle, but I guess that they're you know, America is so intent on filtering and screening news to make sure that unacceptable information isn't put in there. And let me see what else. It's a nail bomb, obviously. Police probing last night's terror attacks at a 23-year-old man was arrested outside a supermarket in South Manchester in connection with the area massacre or the arena massacre. And I can't. Here's the thing is, on a lot of these cases, and this is the question that these other countries have to answer, a lot of the people that are involved in these terror attacks, believe it or not, are already known to the authorities. So then the question is, should there be an adaptation in civil rights or in criminal rights? Well, I guess in this case, civil rights, for them to be able to take these people in or kick them out of their countries. Now, to me, the obvious answer is you've got a situation where you're kind of relaxing habeas corpus or whatever you want to call it, whatever ancient doctrine there was to keep people from being treated unfairly. You've got a war situation going on. It's urban warfare and it's guerrilla warfare. And so then what do you do about it? And so the police and the government have the right to fall back on some of these, you know, especially England has all these doctrines that are very similar in the foundational doctrines that America picked up. They have similar legal doctrines and laws and standards and stuff. Should they be relaxed? Should the people that they are studying for being involved in terror, once somebody is in, you know, put on a list, should they just be removed from the country? Now, I think it would be easier to do it in a place like England than it would be the United States. And this is one of the reasons that England wanted to leave the EU, is that the standards for allowing people to come into the EU had fallen to nothing, apparently, in some places like Greece. So the upshot is that somebody gets into one part of the EU, they can go to any other part of the EU. So it's just a question of how do you deal with this? How do you cut it down? How do you pare it back? And I think the idea is out there in the United States that it is worth the terrorist attacks that we would have here or have had here or could have here to maintain freedom for all religions across the board. Which brings up another question. Is Islam truly a religion as all other religions are, or is it a political movement with a religious element to it? Because there is no Islam without the control of the government. True Islam is not just a religious movement. It is fundamentally a political ideology that is articulated through religious beliefs. And I've mentioned this before, but the UMA, not Uma Thurman, but the UMA is the group that will be saved unto Allah. These people are not indicated by falling down to one knee and doing a Christian-style prayer. It is a part, this, it means being part of a group that has accepted the will of Allah. That's how you become converted. The Christian conversion experience is alien to Islam. I'm not saying that a Muslim person couldn't say something like a Christian would, you know, born again experience, but that is not the fundamental way in history that people entered the Muslim community. It is by living in a Muslim land, accepting Muslim rule, and don't forget that Islam means submission. So it's a political movement fundamentally, and as a matter of fact, historically, if you go back and study the history of Islam, the theory of the Ummah, the theory of the political movement, comes before the theory of salvation, believe it or not, or what they call soteriology. Take a little break here and come back and pick this up a little more. 6:42, I'm going to focus on this a little bit more and then get into something else in the next hour. Kelly O'Connell, I'm Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. A question for you. Should the countries of Europe radically crack down on Islam? What's the pros and cons? I'm talking about taking people and possibly even moving out large numbers of people from these countries like Brussels, where it is apparently there's areas of the city that are totally taken over. In England, should America crack down on Islam? I'm just asking because it seems like only a matter of time before we're going to have another one of these Orlando shootings or arena-style bombings in which little kids, innocent children are targeted to show how powerful Allah is. We'll be right back.
Song came and went like the times that we spent hiding out from the rain under the carnival tent.
All right, I've got a clip here. Three Quran verses every Christian should know. Well, why do Muslims do what they do?
Islam is often presented as a very simple religion. It's just submission to Allah. But if you dig a little deeper, you find out in the Quran, Surah 4, verse 65, that submission to Allah requires complete obedience to all of Muhammad's decisions. And that's where Islam gets a lot more complicated, because Muhammad's decisions are spread across thousands of stories in the Hadith. Most Christians don't have the time or the sources or the desire to go through all this material and figure out what Islam teaches.
There is an Islam. There's the Quran, which is the book of obviously Muhammad. And then you've got the Sunnah and the Haditha. The Sunnah is the model behavior. Everything that Muhammad did is model behavior, which brings into question when he marries a 5 or 6 or 7 year old, depending on the story that you follow, and consummates the relationship before the age of 10, is that model behavior for today. And it would seem like there's no other option than to accept that as model behavior, et cetera. He also married his adopted son's wife, because he fell in love with her, and his adopted son said, you know, far be it from me to keep something that you want from you. I'm kind of summing it up. And so he ended up having her as a wife. And so as a result of that, adoption was abrogated, or it was canceled in Islam. Believe it or not, go look it up. You don't believe me. So anyway, what point I wanted to get. The Haditha is the wise sayings of Muhammad. The Sunnah is the model behavior, and this is part of the essence of Islam. Now, Joseph Schacht is a very famous, maybe the most famous, what they call an Orientalist, but really a person who studied Islam, and he went back and did a historical survey into where the Haditha came from, and found that the Haditha sprang up after the death of Muhammad, meaning that they were not authentic. That's his theory. It's a very famous and extremely controversial idea to Islam, because it means a vast swath of Islam is not authentic. This is the implication. And that what happened is there were so many areas that Muhammad didn't ever comment on that they had to fill in the gap, so that the Haditha are like spackle or whatever you want to call it. Fills in everything. All right, here's a little more from this guy. Three verses.
No problem. That's what we're here for. We're happy to serve that role in the body of Christ. But we should all keep in mind that there are more than 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, and that Islam places a strong emphasis on preaching and winning converts. Chances are we're not going to be there when your Muslim friends preach Islam to you, or when your children go off to college and hear about how wonderful Islam is, not only from their Muslim friends, but also from their professors. It seems then that Christians in general need to know something about Islam. Rather than throw everything at you at once, I'm going to give you three simple verses. Now, I would love to see Christians around the world learn maybe a dozen or so Quran verses that I think are very important. But if I were to narrow down the list to just three verses, these would be the three. First, Surah 4, verse 157. By the way, surahs are basically chapters, so chapter 4, verse 157. This verse gives you the Islamic view of Jesus' crucifixion. Let's read it. They said in boast, they here are the Jews, they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety, they killed him not. Notice that Jesus wasn't killed. He wasn't even crucified. Islam denies that the crucifixion of Jesus ever took place. But if Jesus was never crucified, why do people believe that he died on the cross? The Islamic view is that Allah miraculously disguised someone to make him look like Jesus, and it was this other person who was crucified, not Jesus. The reason you believe that Jesus died, according to Islam, is that Allah did an excellent job tricking everyone. It's interesting to
the Jesus stunt double theory.
Ponder the theological depths false prophets will go to in order to deny what Jesus did for us. Second, Surah 5, verse 47. Muslims often claim that the Bible has been corrupted, but there are plenty of verses in the Quran which show that if the Bible has been corrupted, Allah certainly doesn't know anything about it. 5:47 is one of these verses. In 5:47, Allah commands Christians to judge by the gospel. He says, let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah hath revealed therein. If any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah hath revealed, they are no better than those rebel. Allah commands us to judge by the gospel, and he says that we're rebels if we don't. Clearly, we can only judge by the gospel if we actually have the gospel. So the Quran assumes that we have reliable scriptures. Of course, if we obey Allah and we judge by the gospel, we have to judge that Islam is false, because Islam contradicts the gospel. The gospel says that Jesus died on the cross. The Quran, Surah 4, verse 157, says that he didn't. The Quran tells us to judge by the gospel. Therefore, if we listen to the Quran, we have to reject the Quran. Third, Surah 9, verse 29. If you've never understood why Christians and other religious minorities are so horribly mistreated in places like Iraq and Egypt and Pakistan, the reason for the abuse is found in the Quran. Allah commands Muslims, once they are in the majority, to violently subjugate Christians and Jews. Allah says in 9:29, fight those who believe not in Allah nor the last day. Notice it says, fight those who do not believe, not fight in self-defense. This is a command to fight people based on their beliefs. Fight those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden, which hath been forbidden by Allah and his messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth from among the people of the book. People of the book are Jews and Christians, until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. Muslims are commanded to fight us until we pay tribute to them and feel ourselves subdued.
All right, so just to get in a little bit more of the Muslim worldview, they do not accept the European model that developed from the Middle Ages forward on the nation state. They do not accept, basically, there's the house of war, there's the house of God. If you're in the house of God, you are in the Ummah. If you're in the house of war, you're a non-believer and can be attacked at any time. That's the simple teaching. Let's take a break here. 523-1450. 805-6180. Problem with Islam, the reason that Islam does not get along with others very well is that they have never developed any modern ideology in terms of their religion or international community, nation state status. Be right back.
I laughed and she smiled. It would last for a while. You don't know what you got till you lose it all again. Let's get filled with madness.
All right, so anyway, I know it's not politically correct to criticize Islam, but it would be a lot better to define Islam as a nation as opposed to a religion and take it from there. Here's a little bit of Jim Gaffigan.
The healthiest thing I do is I take vitamins and I put them in a drawer. Eventually, I do take them and throw them out. Yeah. When I was a kid, I took Flintstones vitamins because I watched the TV show The Flintstones. I'd probably take vitamins now if they had, I don't know, Law and Order vitamins. Oh, I got one of those hot assistant DAs. Here's the Sam Waterston. It's always bitter, but filled with righteous indignation. Dun, dun. I think it's strange that there are stores that just sell vitamins, you know, like GNC and Vitamin Shoppe. You know what I mean? What is with the old English spelling? Is this where Robin Hood got at his ginkgo? Worst British accent. Vitamins, you know, they may be expensive, but at least there's no proof they work.
All right, we'll take a break here and come back after the hour flips over. Kelly O'Connelly and Las Cruces, 523-1450-805-6180 to text.
My face that she turns to gold. Cool evening dance. Listen to the bluegrass band and takes the cheer from the air until they play the last song. I'll do my time for keeping you on.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, every time there's a bombing, you do this Islamic hate type show. I mean, do you just like stirring it up or what?
Well, I've spent a lot of time studying it. I never really talk about it that much unless something happens.
Yeah, you seem to have studied it a lot, but you just seem to, you know... What I would be focusing on is all these idiots that have gone over there to fight for Daesh. Why let them come back? If you're gone and you're over there fighting, you don't get to come back. You stay there.
I'll do a segment on that. I think it's a good segment.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, I understand. I don't care much for any religion, though I will admit I'm a Christian. I just think a lot of it is a bunch of bull. But you seem to always want to, these poor people that work here, like at Walmart and wear their little head things. I mean, the poor girls probably got to go through all this hate all day long because you've stirred it up. You know, it's more, these people do grab the religion. I mean, most of them are drunkards and druggies, and then all of a sudden they can save themselves by sucking up to this religion, and that's what they do. But generally speaking, if they go to fight, they shouldn't be able to come back. I don't care if it's their country. They gave up their country when they decided to go over there and fight for Daesh. So, you know, to hell with them. Don't let them come back. You lose your rights when you go do that.
What about defining, where I'm about to come back on the air. Do you want to say anything on the air?
Oh, not really, Kelly.
Come on, yes you do. What about all your fans?
So anyhow, yeah. What about all my what?
Fans.
I have no fans. I loved Frankie yesterday, though. Love that guy. Just love that guy. But anyhow, talk about, it's not, grab the religion. And just like the Christians use it.
I'm on the air right now. Just state your thesis, all right?
I was just asking you you have to stir it up every time there's an attack. You know, yeah, it probably was a Muslim that did the attack, but these are Muslims that they're not even Muslims. I mean, they're losers. I unfortunately have to agree with Donald Trump on that. That they are losers that have fallen out of their faith, and the only way to get back in is to do something horrible, and they do it. You know, look at Timothy McVeigh. I mean, what was he? He was a Christian. He grew up a lot of kids, too. You grab your religion or you think you want to get back into it, and you do something horrible. That doesn't make...
How was Timothy McVeigh a Christian?
Well, he was a white Christian American
Kathy, if you're white and American, you're a Christian. I get it. Okay, so
well, yeah, most of them are. Yeah, I mean, you're condemned if you're not.
Kathy,
if you're not a Christian here in this country, Kathy, you get it all dished at you.
Kathy, come on, it's like trying to have a conversation with a TV. All right, Kathy called up. She says, "Let's focus on the real problem here." Block anybody who's gone off to fight jihad and tried to come back. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I do too. Like, you go fight jihad in the Middle East, find a home over there because you're not coming back. It doesn't matter what religion you are. Most of them go over there, I'm sure, to fight for what they think is the will of Allah. But, you know, stay over there. You can't come back. I don't care if you were born in America or if you were born in England. Once you go over there to fight, you just don't get to come back. You need to find a home over there them.
What about categorizing Islam differently than other religions because of its different ideas in terms of it's a theocratic movement, and therefore how would a movement that demands theocracy ever get along with anybody else?
Well, you know, maybe it won't. I'm just saying here when you have an incident like what happened in England, and though we don't know, it's probably true that it was
Islamic
terrorist. You just stir it up for the people that are peaceful here. You know, most of the Islamic people are not terrorists. It's only, you know, mostly 20-something men that are losers and have decided the only way to get back in good is to go do something like that. Well, go, but you just can't come back, period. You know, it's always, oh my gosh, we know who they are, we're following them, we know they're involved in it, but we just can't do anything about it. Well, you know what? Don't even let them back in. Just tell them you lost your rights when you went to fight for ISIS or Daesh. So just do that. Just don't let them come back.
I do agree with
that. They made their choice.
I do agree with that. All right.
Well, good. Yeah, Kelly, I can't agree. I can't believe that we can agree on something, because most of the stuff you say I totally don't agree with. But anyhow, nice to talk on the air. Tell Frankie he needs to call in more. I really enjoy listening to him.
Tell Frankie to put down the bottle and come back to human society.
Okay, Kelly, have a nice day.
You too, Kathy. All right, folks. So she suggested I play or focus a little bit on people who are leaving, going to fight jihad, and then coming back. And here's a little bit from Press TV.
Thousands of Western militants returning to Europe from Syria and Iraq. British authorities estimate that at least 800 British men and women have traveled to fill ISIL's ranks in recent years and may now be looking for a way back as the terror group loses ground. Amina Taylor has more from London.
For some of these Daesh fighters, time is running out. As ISIL positions continue to be pounded by opposing forces, members of the terror group are increasingly looking for a way out. For those who once called the UK home, facing prison time for fighting with or alongside a terrorist organization like ISIL may well be preferable to dying in battle or being killed for attempting to desert. Over 27,000 foreign fighters have joined ISIL since the war on Syria started 5 years ago. Between 5,000 to 7,000 are from Europe, with approximately 800 from the UK.
Many of those returning to the UK will, past experience shows us, somehow settle back into normal life for the time being. And perhaps many of them will be sick of what they've seen. But a significant proportion, and remember, because there are quite large numbers of people involved who've traveled out to these places, it only means we need a small proportion of those to be sufficiently motivated to carry out attacks in the West to give a problem in terms of absolute numbers. And so, yes, there is a problem, and almost certainly, as indeed we have seen throughout Europe, returning jihadists, at least to some degree, will be a security problem.
The government and the security agencies are aware that they have a mammoth task ahead of them when it comes to dealing with returning fighters and homegrown terrorists. After all, in an age of globalized terrorist networks, experts are warning that an attack on British soil is not simply a matter of if, but when. The scale of the problem could have been avoided, experts warn.
This problem of returning jihadis is a self-inflicted problem, especially for those countries such as Britain, Belgium, France, that were in the forefront of sending, perhaps not as part of policy, but certainly doing very little to stop the travel of jihadists from those countries to places such as Syria, Iraq, and of course, even before that, Libya.
The widespread use of children, some believed to be British, and high-profile executioners like Mohammed Amwazi mean security services have a public relations issue as well as genuine security concerns.
All right, so should there be, this is controversial, I'm laying it out there, I'm not going to give you my opinion, should there be a different status for people? I don't even know how to articulate this because it's so different than how we normally see things. But should there be a different status for Islamic people? I mean, you know, if you're part of a religion that believes in Sharia law, you're part of a religion that believes in jihad, If you believe that jihad is a pillar of Islam that cannot be refused, which is the traditional understanding of it, don't you ascribe to a higher authority than the Constitution? And if you can't follow the Constitution, should you stay in America? I don't know. I mean, what I'm asking about is, why is it that Europe and the United States and many other countries in the world act like they have no choice? That's, I think, what I find fascinating about this whole thing is it really true we have no choice in who lives here? And we have one, you know, we have a constitution, we have our laws laid out there, no matter what. Well, of course not. There are other laws that push back, but when do those laws come into place? Is it possible, would it be possible that a group of people who are involved in a movement who call themselves a religion could be categorized in a way other than religion? And here, let me give you an example, totally made up, but to see where I'm coming from on this. What if the mafia began to call itself a, and began to do certain religious rites, whatever they were, prayer, going over their scripture, whatever. What if they started out that way? Here's a, here, well, let's take take another break and come back and kind of see, I'll see if there's anything else to, yeah, there is something else. I want to tell you about the 3,500 radicals that are in Britain. How many radicals are here? 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back to chat about that. Listen to the melody, listen to the music on the way. I'll listen to my heart break every time she runs away. All right, here's an issue that you might find interesting. People come, let's say a person came from another country, a country, let's say Syria or Iraq, Iran, wherever, Saudi Arabia. And they came here and Pakistan, wherever you wanted to, this person to be from, comes here and with in mind that they're going to fight the great white Satan, the great Satan, for God. And so they come over here and they kill some people. They get caught. They die. They blow themselves up, whatever. Here's the irony. They're coming from places where when they move here, they have more rights here as a visitor than they do in their home country. Number one. Number two, they're using the freedoms and the generosity and the graciousness that we offer people that come from other countries to kill people. And they're killing people, apparently, in the name of tyranny. They must want tyranny because they're fighting to establish countries like themselves in the name of God. There doesn't appear to be any logic or common sense used in these analyses. It's just this, you know, this pure idea, this is what the Quran says, this is what the Sharia says. Now, according to Joseph Schacht, who is this great, probably the greatest professor on, who wrote critically on Islam, the Islamic law specifically, Islam, the center of it is not the Quran. The center of it is the Sharia. It is the core and kernel of Islam itself. You should think about that just a little bit because it's kind of surprising. And so anyway, I find it interesting. Would there be any circumstance where the general civil rights of Islamic people would be taken away and substituted with something else? I mean, I can't imagine it myself. Talking about a country like the UK, because of their very open immigration policy, they now have 3,500 suspected terrorists in the UK. But they're doing less now than they did in 2015 to keep these people under check. Around 400 ISIS-trained fighters have returned from war zones to live in the UK. And even though there are more terror attacks, the rate is increasing in Europe and in the UK. There's less focus on these people for some reason. So would there be a circumstance where people would begin to consider the idea of cutting off the problem at the root, which is getting rid of the population? Now, I think then unless there's some sort of a large-scale attack, I'm just, you know, thinking hypothetically here. I'm not arguing for a public policy. I'm just kind of throwing the topic out there. If there was some sort of large-scale attack, if someone got a dirty bomb into a large city, if someone detonated even a small nuclear weapon in a large American city and it was tied back to Islam, I think all bets are off. I mean, I think people would be so furious. And so just astounded and afraid that they would be willing to change any part of the law to deal with a problem. Short of something like that, is there any way to deal with the problem of what appears to be different than any other group? I'm not aware of any other group, religious group, that has a significant number of terrorists embedded in it. In any population in the world of Muslims, there's going to be a subgroup of terrorists in there. So why is that? Number one, that's one argument. But number two, what are the implications for public policy? 523-1450-8056-180. All right. Here is, and we do have a call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron, Kelly.
Morning, Aaron. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I think that, you know, for one, I think history is kind of repeating itself in that there's always been a kind of a demarcation line between, you know, the Islamic East and the West. You know, you saw it primarily in Europe over the last 600 years. There's been, you know, pushback both directions. It ebbs and flows. You know, they were pushed off the Iberian Peninsula. They were
all right, but what's
pushed out of
Aaron? What's your get to the core of your point so we can think about it.
Well, I think the core of the point is that eventually it'll happen here. I mean, it'll take time. I think that's what the radicals want. They want to draw lines, and they want so that they can inspire or what's the word? Maybe scare their own population into joining. Hoping that they can then, you know, have an all-out fight. And I mean,
all right, what's the logic here, Aaron? What's the logic here? I'm part of a group. I'm telling the people that my group is led by God, and that it's the greatest religion in history. And to disagree with me is absurd. It's fruitless. And then I go around killing a bunch of people, and I say that I'm doing it for my God. What is the overall strategy? How is that going to draw people into your religion?
Well, I think one thing that they have to draw on is the fact that the Quran does come out in lots of places and express this whole idea. So it's hard if you're a devout Muslim to counter that idea when it's right there on the written page. So it's not a big jump from being a moderate to being a literalist and defending the faith.
All right, so this is my take on it. I think that it is a statement of, you know, it's these people believe that do these things, believe they have an absolute right to go and kill innocent people, what we consider to be innocent people, and that in doing so, what they're doing is taking over an area for their faith. They're really not trying to convert people. They're trying to dominate them.
Right. Oh, totally. I mean, why do you think when Yugoslavia broke up, you had the problems that you had there? These groups were being forcibly held together by a real strong dictator, Tito. And when they no longer had that, it was all about the Serbs and the Croats, in a sense, understanding that they were not going to be able to live with Muslims and Sharia law.
Yeah, I think that's true. Aaron, I gotta go, but thanks for the call. Good points. Okay. All right, let's hit our news here. But all right, so it would take from my estimate, it would take a catastrophe on a major scale, epic scale, to change the laws on for one group as opposed to the others. It's a religion. So like it or not, it is a religion. It's going to stay a religion, but is there a way, and I think that Trump was kind of going after this, but Trump was just tapping into a movement that was well established. Why bring in people from areas where it's a war zone, it's a jihad zone, and you can't document them? And, of course, this kind of Obama idea, we are the world's savior, we are the great hope of the world, and therefore it is not up to us to judge other people, we must welcome them in. To be a way to stay on top of these groups, stay on top of these people, and not take all their civil rights away, decrease the, I mean, right? Or maybe there's not, I don't know. Maybe the opportunity that freedom affords is the only opportunity that these people need. But this problem is only going to stay there and get bigger. The question is, what are we going to do about it? 727 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. What are we going to do about senseless, radical, murderous attacks upon innocent people in the name of a religion, of a people that live amongst us? The vast majority of which are peaceful. I mean, I don't know, but it seems like we should come up with a more sophisticated plan. All right, some headlines for you. Suicide bomber identified as Salman Abedi, 23. He's dead. Girl 8 years old killed in Manchester Arena. Frantic parents hunt for missing kids. Skin and blood everywhere. Attack brings out worst of social media. Concert bomb prompts security rethink worldwide. $22 dead at Grand Aria Grande gig. ISIS striking again, saying it's only the beginning. 3,500 suspected terrorists in the UK, jihad-y brides. Prep for a last stand. Women that are coming back from jihad areas where their husbands were killed. Hugo Chavez's childhood home burned by protesters. Maxine Waters was up giving an attack against Trump, and they cut her mic. Roger Moore dead at 89. This is stunning. President seeking $3.6 trillion in spending cuts to reshape government. And he made a statement along the lines of the government should not be the biggest thing in people's lives. Low budget request for Mexico border wall. And now we're asking, is there a wave election with all the fury in the Democratic Party? Is there a wave election that's going to push back against Trump in the House and Senate? Facebook flooded with sextortion and revenge porn. Files reveal. Yeah, check this out. Cost of universal health care in California is larger than the state's budget. That's why we don't believe in one-payer government health care. Defector from North Korea says that they have drones that can strike Seoul within an hour and drop bombs. El Chapo case judge executed outside of his home. Apple is 40% more valuable in Chicago. Not only that, but there's a lot fewer deaths at Apple. O.J. Simpson could be paroled in weeks. Scientists tie 52 genes to human intelligence. And looking for anything else here. All right, so they found out who the bomber was. In the meantime, recent major terror attacks in Europe. April 7th, 2017, driving a hijacked beer truck, a man struck pedestrians at Stockholm department store, killing four people. March 22, 2017, man drives rented SUV into pedestrians at London's Westminster Bridge, killing four people. Attacker then stabbed a police officer to death. December 19, 2016, hijacked truck plows through a Christmas market in Berlin, killing 12. July 14, 2016, a truck driver targets Bastille Day revelers in Nice, killing 86. March 22, 2016, suicide attacks on Brussels Airport kills 32 people, injuring hundreds. November 13, 2015, Islamic State linked extremist attack to Bataclan concert hall in Paris, killing 130. Key suspect in the attack, 26-year-old Salah Abdesalam arrest in Brussels, March 18th, 2016, on and on and on. If you look up a list of the world Islam attacks across the globe, not just Europe, it's astounding how many there are. Here's a little bit more on the attack. Oh, we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is your good friend, Bob.
Bob, what's going on?
Well, I was listening to you for the first the past 30 minutes. And, you know, from my experience and what I've seen is happening, these people are verifiably, they're crazy. And they need terminated. That's the only way you're going to get peace. You can't change them. You're not going to change them.
Right.
They were trained this way.
All right, let me ask you this, though. The vast majority, and this is according to anybody with any information, the vast majority of Muslims in this country and in other places in Europe are law-abiding, peaceful people. How do you keep from taking away their rights if you are reacting to the terrorists?
Well, I mean, the peacekeeping people, they're not going to do anything wrong, so you're not taking anything away from them, okay? A faction of their religion is very radical, and those people have not earned the right to live. They've lost that right. Therefore, you just go in there and just exterminate them.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
I
mean, like Hitler,
Bob,
and all those people,
Bob,
in Germany.
Bob, I know, but once somebody has attacked other people, it's easy to find, you know, it's easy to say, well, they're justified in exterminating them. But what about finding the people before they go on these murderous rampages?
Yeah, that's going to take a lot of extensive paperwork, but that has to be done. Like, for example, like our police.
Oh, Bob, I got to take a break, but thanks for the call. Good call. All right, here, I'm just going to throw this out to you. There's a movie out there. It had Tom Cruise in it. I think it was called Minority Report. Is that it? Where they use like a supercomputer to figure out who's going to commit a crime before they do it. All right. What if you used some sort of extensive psychological profiling, the history of individuals? If we're told that the NSA, follow me on this. If we're told by the NSA already has all the information from people, and another implication is that the government has the right to that, you do an extensive study of these individuals, put them on a list, call it racial programming, whatever you will. It's really would be, I guess, more along the lines of religious programming or profiling. But to go and do a study, I'm just kind of coming up with this off the top of my head, but I'm thinking there's got to be a way to make society safer, bearing in mind that this could happen anywhere in the United States, anywhere in Europe at any time. And we do have another phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Okay. Well, let's take a break and maybe that person will. Oh, here we go. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
You cannot be serious. Unbelievable. The guy is in the Middle East, and he goes to Israel, and he says, I just left the Middle East to come here to Israel. The guy doesn't even know where he's on this planet.
Why?
A fool.
Why is there this fantasy that Trump is the worse than Hitler and has to be removed, and it doesn't matter what he does or says? Every single thing that he does or says is proof of it, that he's an imbecile, that he's an evil Hitler, that he's a terrible person. I thought you liberals supported democracy.
Oh, we do. We support intellectual democracy, not conservative, criminally comported nonsense.
It doesn't matter. If this guy went to sleep for 8 hours, you'd criticize him for being lazy. You would criticize him for ruining government property like sheets. There's no logic to what the Dems and the Libs are saying about this guy. It's going to lose traction because people can't take you guys seriously.
You can't be serious, Kelly O. The man is a narcissistic mentally deranged. What is it that he
are you
has
related?
To do before
are,
you conservatives
are you
realize
related?
This guy is a whack job?
Are you related?
Well, just the only thing is he's from New York. I'm from New York. Unfortunately,
that's all
an
the proof. That's all the proof you need these days. You're from the same city, therefore you're in the same tribe as him. Therefore, you also must be taken out of society.
No, I'm not
society.
From the same city. I would not be, and I was
same,
out. I'm not saying
the
where
same
I live,
logic,
so you don't insult
same,
me about that.
Frankie, it's the same level of proof and logic that you guys are using. I got to take a break here. Anything else?
All right. No, I'll call back later, maybe.
Take off the Depends and take a walk into the city today.
Oh, give me a break.
All right.
Don't wait.
Thank you.
Come
all right. All right. Bye-bye. Stay in bed if you want. I don't care. All right. We'll be right back. 523-1450-805-6180. Do you have an answer to the problem? The problem is most Muslims are perfectly lovely, nonviolent people. A subgroup of them, unlike probably any other religion that I can think of, is violent, murderously violent. What can we do? How do you keep the rights of the majority and get rid of the monsters of the minority? We'll be right back.
Running down by the lake shore, she did love the sound of a summer storm. It laid on the lake like a mandolin, now it's washing her away.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, Frankie is right. You know, come on, you're looking right at Donald Trump. The man is using fifth grade sentences from speeches that go all the way around the world. This is about Trump. I mean, you were so willing to bury Hillary over some damn stupid ass server. We don't need a server with Trump. He invites our enemy into the White House, a house I paid for too,
what
and he tells them
crime?
What they want to know. I mean, the man is a
narcissist.
Frankie's right.
Crime?
He is an idiot.
What is his crime? Alan Dershowitz got up and said there is no evidence of any crime.
Oh, you know. I admit, Alan Dershowitz is a great man, and he's probably right. And the thing is, Trump will probably get away with it. You know, so
get
fine.
Away with
but
what?
Do you really feel good about him inviting the Russians in the day after he fired Comey and then trashes our top officials to our enemies while they're in the house that we paid for?
Kathy,
you guys are hypocrites.
Roll back. Hold on a second. Put your hand over the mic for 1 minute. Here's the thing that Comey got up and said he made a statement to the Congress that the Wiener had hundreds of thousands of emails and all this stuff. And it turned out to be so false that the FBI, this is before he got fired, had to send a letter to the Congress apologizing for the. Okay. So now we've got information like you're talking about. That was written down by Comey. They haven't even seen this piece of paper. It was read over the phone to the New York Times, and then the New York Times does an expose on it as if, I mean, that's absolutely crazy. There's level.
So WikiLeaks is just fine when they hack the DNC and the fake news and all that stuff is fine, but we have people that are in there taking notes on this conversation, and they feel an obligation to this country, not against this man. I don't care who's in that office. If they're doing crap like that, they ought to be turned in. They're public servants. This isn't about Trump. It's about the way he is acting. He isn't acting like a normal person. This is about Trump, not about our country anymore with him.
We're on the air. Hold on.
If you guys... No.
All right. We got Kathy who's saying that Frankie is right. Go ahead, Kathy. We're listening.
I'm just saying the hypocrisy from the conservatives is unbelievable. I mean, gee, if Hillary would have won, we could be wallowing in a server problem right now, and we'd all think that was horrible. But somehow you are able to look this man who speaks in fifth grade sentences most of the time when he gives his speeches and excuse him one time after another, again and again, for doing things that are simply wrong. He brought the Russians a day after he fired Comey into our public place, our White House, joked with them, wouldn't let the free press in, and
and gave him, but like he said when he was in Israel, I never said Israel. The guy is a doofus. You won't admit it. You have 17 people on that stage, and you all picked the stupidest damn person I have ever seen in my life.
I don't care
if the Republicans run in this country, but my God, can you pick a decent one? I mean, Hillary, you might think she's a crook, but we got an idiot. My God. And you all look at this man and make excuses for him.
The media is so biased that we don't even know what is true or false. You get
the, Please, Kelly, let me respond. We have Fox, we have BBC, PBS. You pick your media. You think it's so biased, the liberal media is biased. Then don't listen to it. That is what's happening. You can interpret it like you want. Go listen to Fox. If that's your reality, listen to Fox then and keep your head in the sand.
I do not watch TV per se, so I don't know what's on any particular one until I go onto the internet and see whatever clips are out there. But I notice it's absolutely crazy the level of it. There's no difference between propaganda in news and a lot of these places when it comes to Trump.
You know, this is a free press, and obviously Fox can pretty much give their slant on it. And on the other end of the spectrum, you got CNN. There's a new network out, OAN, American, the One American News. It's on DirecTV. They're conservative, but they're a little more in the middle. So, I mean, we have our choice of news providers. You don't have to listen to one or the other. I guess you can listen to all of them and make your own choice. But Trump wants to shut down the liberal press because he doesn't like what they say about him, but he will only let conservative news organizations be in this country. I mean, my God, he's un-American. He is diminishing democracy and freedom, not just in our country, but around the world, because we no longer feel we should be spreading that. We should just be keeping our mouths shut and you know, like the Commerce Secretary yesterday, totally in disbelief on how little protest there was against them. We must really be loved over here. Well, you know what? They're not allowed to protest. The free press doesn't exist in most of the Middle East or in Russia or in Turkey.
Kathy, you're telling me that a totally propagandized mainstream media is free? Are you nuts?
It's not propagandized. If that's what you think it is, you know, it's not propagandized. Fox chooses not to print what's happening. So you have leaks that, you know, people who work in the government and feel a responsibility that some of this stuff of your public servants shouldn't be kept quiet, and they call in and say, this is what's going on. Why are you insulted? I mean, why are you outraged?
Kathy, put your hand over your mouth for 1 second. Allow me to say this. There's a note from a guy, James Comey, who had already lied to the Congress, and the FBI had to send in a letter
He didn't lie. He didn't lie, Kelly.
He did.
He said hundreds, and then he said dot, dot, dot.
You will not even listen to me. That just proves my point. You can't listen.
Okay, sorry.
This guy got censored, or he got chastised by his own agency before he gets fired. And now this guy says, I'm in this room. I hid behind the drape so I didn't have to talk to Trump. And then he said this thing, and I wrote it down. And then my friend read it to the New York Times. Although the New York Times, I mean, it's just crazy. The level.
Why is that crazy? Why is that crazy?
How is that proof?
He didn't want to be there. He was forced to be there. He was called out. He was humiliated by Trump making him walk across and huggy him.
Kathy, another point here. He said he had a solo meal with Trump where they discussed all this stuff. It turns out that it was a group of people that were there. This guy Comey lies all the time.
Oh, picky. Talk about a liar. He's our president. The biggest liar that has ever served in office in this country is Donald Trump. Yeah. And you're worried about some dinner. Donald lies about everything. I mean, everything that comes out of that man's mouth is a lie or an exaggeration.
All right.
And you guys just keep making excuses for him. Like it's the greatest thing that ever happened.
right. Thank you. All right. So the board, talk to you later. The board's melting down. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. We got another call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey. How are you this morning, Kelly?
Good, Jeffrey. Hope you're well. And let's hear what you're thinking.
Well, you made the comment. What can we do to help because the minority is killing it for the majority?
Yeah.
You talk about the Muslims.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, there's nothing you can really do to a certain point, because you have to choose. The president and the staff have to choose which rights are they going to protect. American rights? Are they going to protect the civil rights of the Muslims who don't even live in this country? You're not going to stop it. I think the Vietnam War would be a perfect example of, you're not going to stop the minority who camouflages themselves into the community.
Guerrilla, urban warfare, guerrilla warfare.
Yes. I mean, you can't stop it, because you can't. The enemy doesn't wear a patch on their shoulder saying, I'm the enemy.
Okay, we can't stop it. We have another call. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Good call. All right. We have another call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show is this.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Who's this?
Hey, this is Abigail.
Abigail,
I'm
thanks for the call.
I'm on your favorite road. I'm on Valley. Hey, you know, I think we need a golden rule on your show is no yelling, because, man, she just releases adrenaline.
I love Kathy, but, I mean, her voice, I've had more complaints about her voice. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's okay to disagree. I got you on speakerphone, so I can't even hardly hear, because I'm driving and I don't like to do this. But I just want to say, God, no yelling, man, because that's just too much. Anyway, I got to get to work. And
thanks, Abigail.
I got money out there for people who need it, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, we'll take a break here, a last break, and then I'll come back and try to read we'll be right back. I'll read your text. All right, I'm getting this thing that says basically I'm handing my okay. Frankie, so this person says, I just turned you off unless you admonish the quote-unquote ass Frankie to adhere to the same courtesy and protocol as everyone else. I won't listen. And then I say, LOL, I shut down all his arguments, get a grip. And he says, all right, comes back. He says, he achieves a coup on you when he calls. First, he refuses to identify himself like his ski mask counterpart in the street. Two, like his protester counterpart, he shouts at you, and in doing so, at listeners, of which I am one, you may tolerate his rude, crude behavior, though it makes you appear weak, but I won't accept it. Just turned you off again. Just gave up your show again. Aww. All right, here's from Frankie. Not before your Looney Tunes prez. Cons are sexually dysfunctional, immature, so boring, radio off. Kathy rocks, beautiful voice. All right, look, when you have a talk show, from my experience, the most important thing to stir the pot, to get people excited, to get them furious, to pound the dashboard or to kick the cord is, and really the most interesting thing overall is disagreement. I say something, I think it's right when I say it, or I think it's defensible, whatever. Somebody calls up and tells me I'm wrong. Well, maybe I'll learn something from that. But I don't want to cut people off that are on the left, and people on the left are more likely to, for whatever reason, to shout and yell and stuff. Here's one. There is no room for Islam in the United States. The religion is also their governance. The sooner the weak white liberal understands, the better. Unfortunately, they won't understand until the streets run red. There's no room for Francois or Frankie. In Hebrew, Allah is pronounced Ah, means the curse. Isaiah 24 says the curse devoured the earth. All right. So, got one more here. I personally, I always like to be around people that disagree, because then it gives me something to think about. Kelly, I promise I will get back to my meditation. And try to be calmer. It's just my nature. Sorry, Kathy. All right, no problem, Kathy. Most people don't mind a little screaming. But all right, so here's some Gaffigan food in the South. Thanks for listening in. We'll come back in 22 hours, of course. And lots of exciting commentary today.
Big tour of the southern states, and I'll tell you something. People in the South are nicer. They are. Even when they're rude, they're nice in the South. They're like, y'all can go to hell. Well, thank you. You too. People in the South are nicer, but they're slower, right? And I don't mean intelligence-wise. They just move slower. It's like, hey, your house is on fire. All right. I'll get to that. But first I need to drink me some sweet tea. Then I'll deal with that pesky house, man. And I figured it out. It's the biscuits and gravy. Everyone in the South moves like they've just had two helpings. Like, oh, shouldn't have had that second helping. This is a 9-year-old I'm pretending to be. And the South are eating biscuits and gravy for breakfast. They're not coming home drunk late at night like, oh, that is it. They're waking up and they're like, time for cement. Lunch, chicken, and waffles. The South will never rise again because they don't have the energy. Because most of their dishes involve paper mache. Eating pinatas down.